So now we've gotten to Woody, and Woody has always got really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, number one, tell us a little bit about your happy place, the real or imagined zone that you can go for a little serenity and peace of mind. How long do you need to stay there? And there's like a, is there like a sliding scale based on severity? Are there variables that can heighten or dampen the experience? And he's thinking more in like a non-sexual realm of possibilities.
Yeah, so I definitely have like both a real and an imagined happy place. So my real happy place is my bedroom. And I like it because I have like, what do you call them? Like room blackening curtains. So, or shades, and then also blackening curtains. So if you close those things, like it's pitch black in the room. And, like I'll come in here, like if I've had an awful day or if I just need a break, like I'll come up here, I'll do that. So it's totally dark and I'll just, I'll put in earbuds and not listen to anything, but just have them in and they kind of cancel out all the noise. And that, I can do that for just a couple minutes just to get a little like sensory break from everything. And then I'm good. So that's my real happy place. But obviously if you're at work or something, you can't go run home to your bedroom. So, I have an imagined happy place too. And that is, so, I've been to Paris a couple of times, and, the first time that I went there was in the middle of winter. So it's kind of, like low season as far as tourism goes. You know, it's cold. It was actually snowing. And I went to the Eiffel Tower pretty early in the morning, so there weren't really a lot of crowds. And when I was there that year, they had seating, like, I don't know if it was benches or what it was, but you could sit directly under the Eiffel Tower and look straight up and just like marvel at this really cool piece of architecture. And it was just kind of like, my memory of that is a very surreal experience. Like it was kind of, it was quiet and it was cold, but it was just so cool to like sit underneath this, this structure and like just look straight up and marvel at it. So I go there. That's my imagined happy place. Just remembering what it felt like to sit there and look up. And I have like successfully meditated through labor based on that like happy place alone. So that's a really effective awesome. Happy place.
That's pretty awesome, actually. My happy place, like physically, is anytime I'm with Charlie. Which is pretty constant, because as long as I'm home, it's pretty much almost constant. So I'm usually pretty at peace, like, almost all the time.
That's awesome.
And in terms of, like, if I'm away, my imagined happy place is probably, like, I often imagine myself in fantasy settings, like, which is why I'm so conducive to nerd, like, Dungeons & Dragons stuff, because my mind wanders a lot, and I'm often imagining myself as, like, a wizard, like, doing all these magical things, like, it's something I've never admitted, but I am very, almost constantly, like, having fantasy, like, daydreams, like, very commonly.
Okay.
And I often feel very serene when I'm in those kinds of modes.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool.
And speaking of vivid memories, the next question. I have vivid memories of a stuffed animal I cherished when I was a kid. It was a monkey. I can also remember specifically how the tattered threads of my childhood blanket felt between my toes and against my legs. Sadly, I have neither of these things in my life anymore, lost to the winds of time. Can you share a memory of something one of a kind you cherished growing up but no longer have? If you could have it back, would you?
Yes, this was a very interesting question. I think, like, as a kid, I didn't really form attachments to things that way. Like, I never had like a favorite stuffed animal or a favorite blanket. My younger sister was the one who did that, and she couldn't go anywhere without her blanket and things like that. But that wasn't me. But I do have something that is from my childhood that I lost. And actually I have two things, and they're both, jewelry. So I had this turquoise ring that was my great grandmother's ring. And I knew her very briefly. She died when I was about 4. So like I sort of remember these very vague memories of her. But my mom really, really loved her. Anyway, so I had inherited this turquoise ring that I used to wear. It was so small. She must have had the skinniest fingers. I used to wear it on my pinky in high school. And it fell off one day. Like, it broke, I think. Because the band, I had noticed that the band was getting really thin. It's just, you know, it was old. And I lost it. And that sucks. And I have a similar story of like a bracelet that my mom gave me one time that, I don't know, it fell off somehow. I don't know how, like the clasp must have come undone. But I would definitely like to have both of those things back. So they're not from like my little kid childhood, but they're from teenage years, and I hate that I lost them. So yeah.
Gotcha. The one thing I wish I could have back is there was this pillow I had. I'm going to admit another quirk. People are going to learn a lot about me, and it's not even my AMA. I always had this thing, or I had this pillow, and this pillow had the most perfect texture. It was filled with feathers. Mm-hmm. And I could tap on it with my fingers, and the sound was so succinct.
Hmm.
And it felt so good, tactically speaking. And that pillow got ruined, and I was so sad, because, like, I got so much, like, it was so calming to make those noises with that pillow. It got annoying to people at times, but I mean, that's it. That's about all I could probably say in terms of, like, stuff from my childhood that I miss.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess I miss my cat, too. My cat that I had growing up, when she died, I was kind of a mess. I would like to have her back. Speaking of things that are also soft and comforting.
Yes. All right. Do you have favorite poets or poems you're willing to share? Without disclosing identifiable information, of course.
Yes. Oh, I forgot about this question. And I'm hoping to read something if I can. I have to pull it up on Google. So I write erotic poetry for GWA, but I actually don't really like poetry. I really don't. Like, when I was in school and stuff, I hated it. I mean, I hated the sections where we had to focus on poetry. I didn't like it. I hated having to analyze it. It's not my preferred writing style. So I don't have, like, a favorite classic poet. But I do have a favorite poem. And that is, it's a poem by Tina Fey. And it's called The... Yeah, Tina Fey. It's called The Mother's Prayer for Its Daughter. And if it's okay with you, I want to read it.
That's fine.
I really like it. Okay. So this is The Mother's Prayer for Its Daughter by Tina Fey. First, Lord, no tattoos. May neither Chinese symbol for truth nor Winnie the Pooh holding the FSU logo stain her tender haunches. May she be beautiful, but not damaged, for it's the damage that draws the creepy soccer coach's eye, not the beauty. When the crystal meth is offered, may she remember the parents who cut her grapes in half and stick with beer. Guide her, protect her. when crossing the street, stepping onto boats, swimming in the ocean, swimming in pools, walking near pools, standing on the nearby subway platform, crossing 86th Street, stepping off of boats, using mall bathrooms, getting on and off escalators, driving on country roads while arguing, leaning on large windows, walking in parking lots, riding Ferris wheels, roller coasters, log flumes, or anything called Hell Drop, Tower of Torture, or the Death Spiral Rock and Roll Zero G featuring Aerosmith, and standing on any kind of balcony ever, anywhere, at any age. Lead her away from acting, but not all the way to finance. Something where she can make her own hours, but still feel intellectually fulfilled and get outside sometimes. And not have to wear high heels. What would that be, Lord? Architecture? Midwifery? Golf course design? I'm asking you because if I knew, I'd be doing it, you damn it. May she play the drums to the fiery rhythm of her own heart with the sinewy strength of her own arms, so she need not lie with drummers. Grant her a rough patch from 12 to 17. Let her draw horses and be interested in Barbies for much too long. For childhood is short, a tiger flower blooming magenta for one day, and adulthood is long, and dry humping in cars will wait. O Lord, break the internet forever, that she may be spared the misspelled invective of her peers and the online marketing campaign for Rape Hostel 5, Girls Just Want to Get Stabbed. And one day, when she turns on me and calls me a bitch in front of Hollister, give me the strength, Lord, to yank her directly into a cab in front of her friends, for I will not have that shit. I will not have it. And should she choose to be a mother one day, be my eyes, Lord, that I may see her lying on a blanket on the floor at 4:50 in the morning, all at once exhausted, bored, and in love with the little creature whose poop is leaking up its back. My mother did this for me once, she will realize as she cleans feces off her baby's neck. My mother did this for me. And the delayed gratitude will wash over her as it does for each generation, and she will make a mental note to call me, and she'll forget. But I will know, because I peeped it with your God eyes. Amen.
That was awesome.
That's, I can't believe I read that without crying. I usually end up tearing up while I read that, but it's funny and heartwarming at the same time. So, Tina Fey, you are my favorite poet.
I did not expect Tina Fey in your answer, but I absolutely love that that is the case because I love Tina Fey, and that just makes me like her more.
Yeah, she's basically the awesomest person ever. okay, moving on.
It's lovely. Can you share three travel rules, tips, or tricks that you use on the regular to maximize your happiness with the experience?
Yes, I can. Tip number one, bring duct tape. Because, I don't know, at least the kind of travel that I tended to, like something breaks or falls apart or gets a hole in it, and duct tape fixes everything. So I usually, like, I'll get a pencil and I'll just wrap a bunch of duct tape around it. And then you can just throw that pencil in your suitcase or something so it doesn't take up space, but you have duct tape. Tip number two, this is relevant to longer trips. Like if you're just going overnight, it doesn't matter. But if you're traveling for a couple days, and particularly if you're traveling with other people, I would recommend going to like the dollar store and buying one of those over the door shoe organizers, like the kind with the little pockets for shoes. And then you can put that over the bathroom door and then you don't have to share counter space with people. You have all these little pockets to put all your bathroom stuff in. And then my third one would be more of like a experience tip. I think it's a mistake to try to plan out like every second of every day of your trip, you know? I've done trips like that where I've had everything planned out and like you get to see a lot of stuff, but I've had more fun on the trips where I pick just like one thing that I want to do that day, and then I leave the rest of the day open to, you know, whatever draws my eye or, you know, whatever we feel like doing. So I think that's my third and final tip. Don't plan every second of your trip.
I agree with not planning every second. Right. And close out, Woody's. Do you have a favorite TV drama of all time? Fingers crossed it's 6 Feet Under.
So, Woody, I have never seen 6 Feet Under. Please don't kill me.
I haven't seen either.
I was going to say, I really doubt you've seen it if you haven't seen The Office or any of the other like things that everyone has seen. So I've heard that that's a really good show. I've heard many people rave about it. I actually think I might have like the first season or the first couple of episodes or something like on my computer, but I've never watched them. I'm so sorry. So this is a really hard question because like my favorite anything generally depends on what kind of mood I'm in. Especially with TV, like it's so hard because, there are just so many shows, but, I think if I had to pick one show, I would probably pick Law and Order SVU. I think that counts as a TV drama. It's been on forever. And I think I've seen all the episodes, although I'm not caught up on the current season. But I just really like that show. I don't know if it counts because it's like, I mean, there's some story elements that carry across, you know, but typically each episode is about a different crime. But I do like that show a lot. If that doesn't count, I think I might pick Dexter. Have you seen that one?
No.
I think it's a Showtime show. I'm actually rewatching that right now. I watched it in its entirety when I was on maternity leave 1 year. I really like it. It's just got the main character is just a fascinating person. And the acting is pretty good, and the stories are really interesting. So I'd probably pick either SVU or Dexter.
Sounds good. I guess if I had to answer it, if Game of Thrones is an acceptable answer, Game of Thrones. If not, Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I thought about both of those. I do watch Game of Thrones, and I love that show. But, I mean, it is very well done, I guess. I want to see, I think I couldn't say Game of Thrones because I want to see how they're going to end it, you know, especially now that they've passed the books in terms of plot. I don't know if I'm going to like how it ends. And I don't, that's my criticism of a lot of TV shows. Like I loved The Sopranos, but I hated that last episode. Or like I really liked Lost, but oh my God, the way they ended that was just the worst. You know, and so that kind of kills it for me. So I don't know. Game of Thrones is still in progress. I can't render a verdict on it yet.
Gotcha. Myth of bacon. Number one, what is the coolest place you've traveled to?
The coolest place I've traveled to. I was going to try to interpret this literally at first and was going to try to tell you the coldest place I've ever been. But I think the coldest place I've ever been is where I live right now. So that's not a very exciting answer. All right. So I think like the coolest place I've ever been to, I think like the coolest two, I picked two, the coolest two experiences I've had traveling, would either be, I've been to like a private island in the Bahamas. And I kind of have, so I grew up on the East Coast of the United States, and so I was frequently swimming in the Atlantic Ocean. And I you know, I've gotten my feet tangled in disgusting plants, and I've been stung by jellyfish, and just generally, like, not had a ton of fun in the water as a child. And so, after I got stung by the jellyfish, I was kind of like, I wouldn't go in past my knees in the ocean, just because I didn't, yeah. So I was kind of a swimming pool person from that point on. But when I went to the Bahamas, to this private island, there was like this lagoon type place, and the water, I mean, it was clear, you know, you could see the whole way to the bottom, and there were fish in it, which is creepy, but you could see them all, like, clear as day. You knew what kind of fish they were, you knew whether they were, you know, you could see plants floating your way and then walk away from them, like, so it was perfect, and it was the first time that I had been, like, back in the water, like, you know, just swimming, in probably 10 years, so that was really cool to be able to swim in the water again like that. And then the other really cool experience I've had is one of the times I was over in France, I went down and toured the Loire Valley, which is like where all the chateaux or the castles are, that you read about if you know things about France. And so ended up like taking a tour of like 6 or 8 of the most like popular chateau. And this was the same trip where I went to see the Eiffel Tower for the first time. So it was the middle of winter. And so I actually took a guided tour of them, but we were one of like, I think there were 2 other couples on the bus with us, and that was it. And so they would let us loose in the castles, and we would be the only people in the entire building because it was the low season for tourism. So we got these like private tours of all these amazing chateaux. And then the coolest part was the gardens. So the gardens were open, and obviously nothing was in bloom, and they were actually snow covered. And so we would be in this garden that if you went and you toured it during the summer, it would be crowded with people. But we were there in the winter, so that we were the only people in the garden. And the, what do you call it? Like the shrubbery that they shape into all the different, you know, artistic shapes. Seeing that snow covered is just like, those photos are some of the favorite photos that I've ever taken. Like, it was just so breathtakingly beautiful and perfect. And I guess that's a theme, because I was telling you about Monet's gardens when we were there by the water lilies by ourselves. But I just, it was so cool to see all this beautiful garden artistry, so pristine and snow covered. And so that was really cool. I like that.
Say cool was still New Orleans. describe the worst vehicle you've ever owned.
So I think I've been very lucky as far as vehicles go. And that's also probably because I didn't get my first car until I was 22. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I didn't have like, you know, some kind of beater car that I drove around as soon as I got my license at 16 or anything like that. Like, so the worst vehicle I've ever owned is the first one I ever bought, and that's because I couldn't afford to buy something nice. So I had, it was a Ford, and it was used. It was, at the time, I think it was only about like 4 years old, so it wasn't like super old. But it was just a piece of shit as far as used cars go. Like, the trunk didn't open. It was, like, pretty rusty. And the thing I hated most about this car, well, I hated the turn signal. God, the sound that Ford vehicles, I think they still do that. That click-click sound they make, the turn signal. I can't stand that sound. But this car, it was really easy to lock your keys inside with the car running. Like, if you couldn't like warm up the car in the winter and close the door and walk away because the door would lock. And so I don't know how many times I was just like stuck somewhere with a car running that I couldn't get inside of. It had to have happened like 3 or 4 times while I owned that car. And it was like horrible. Like, I basically had to call my roommate or something and be like, can you bring the spare key and meet me? You know, it was this huge, horrible, panic inducing thing. So I was very happy when I sold that car.
Sounds about right. Let's close this one out. Have you ever been caught while listening to or creating sexy audios?
Yeah, so I've never been caught while creating them. Like I said, usually I record at night after my kids are in bed. My husband knows I do it, so he can't catch me. I have recorded at work before, and I have not yet been caught, so that's good. That's all I can say
I
about
did
that.
not know that.
Yeah, I don't think I've publicly posted any of them. No, I definitely haven't. But I have recorded at work in the bathroom, and I also have a private office, so I've recorded in there as well. I get in pretty early in the morning before anybody else does, so it's not too hard. So I've never been caught creating sexy audio. I've never been caught while listening, but I had a really close call the other day. I was telling, I think it was, who was I talking with backstage? I think it was Audible Geek. I can't remember. We were having a chat in the comments of some random thread. But so the other day I was at lunch at like my favorite place for lunch at work, and it's right across the street from where I work. And I was listening to stuff while I was eating, and then I had just put on something new to listen to while I walked back to work. And I was like, yeah, I was all bundled up because it's winter, so it's cold. I was all bundled up and I had my earbuds in and I was listening to this audio, and I'm going to walk out the door and I drop my phone, and the headphone, like the headphone jack, rips out of the phone and they're hanging from my ears. So like I can't hear anything because they're noise canceling earbuds, but I see my phone on the ground and I'm like, holy fuck. Like, oh my God. And I was really close to the door when this happened, and I didn't think, oh no, maybe my phone's broken. I just thought, oh my God, the whole restaurant can hear this. Like the volume was up f full blast. I grab my phone and go running out the door. And I just stop as soon as I get outside, and I rip the earbuds out of my ears and I'm freaking out. And then I realize you can't hear anything. It must have muted the audio when the headphones came unplugged. Like, thank fucking God.
You know, I think that's actually a pretty common thing. Like,
Yeah.
I've had that happen at work once. But thankfully, it was at a part that was not sexy times. So it's like, even if anybody did notice, they wouldn't have been like, what the fuck? So that was kind of lucky.
Oh, yeah, this was like, I think this was like a ramble fap or something, and it would have been really obvious what I was listening to. And
Yeah.
I was just, I've never been so happy that my phone was smart enough to silence itself. 'Cause that's like my favorite place for lunch, and the employees know me. You know, they know me, they don't know my name, but they know me by sight, 'cause I go there probably once a week. And the thought of that happening, like I would never have been able to go back again. So almost caught listening, but not quite.
Right. So the next set of questions is from Toaster Parade. And this first question, it's very general. For some reason, I want to think of this in the context of a zombie apocalypse for whatever reason, but first question is, what's your weapon of choice?
Well, the zombie apocalypse puts a different twist on it than what I was thinking.
What?
I'll answer that one too. All right. So, okay, so I was thinking, so in reality, I would say for sure like the pen or my mouth. I can be mean when it's called for. I think like in fantasy, like if I was, I was thinking about it in the context of the backstage Broadway singing collaboration that Penny organized. I think that was for January. There was talk about getting some of the girls together to do the song from the musical Chicago, where like all the women sing about the different reasons they're in jail, the different murders that they committed. So I was thinking about that. I think my fantasy weapon of choice is definitely a knife. Not going to go into too much detail there, but yeah, knife For sure. As far as zombie apocalypse goes, that's really interesting. I don't know. I think I'm more of a distance weapons person. I don't know that I could be like smashing in zombie heads with a hatchet or something like that. I think I'd probably try to learn like a bow and arrow or a crossbow or something. I would really, really try hard to stay far enough away where that would be effective.
In terms of real life weapons, a real life weapon I'd probably use is like a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty dependable. Like a steel, aluminum, or aluminum baseball bat is a pretty solid weapon in real life. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna feel like fantasy. I would not use weapons. I would use a spell book, and I would use explosions to solve my problems. And in terms of a zombie apocalypse, ranged weapons aren't very effective unless you can literally shred them into, like, oblivion.
Yeah.
You're a lot better off with, like, a machete, because a machete is actually, like, really effective at cutting things. It's the best weapon you can probably get to use against a zombie, other than if you actually know how to use a katana.
Mm-hmm.
Which most people won't, so... I have the zombies. I used to read the Zombie Survival Guide a lot, so
I've never read that.
It's a pretty informative read, even though it's not really actually going to help you, but it's a pretty informative read.
Like honestly, so, if the zombie apocalypse happened tomorrow, I think I would just curl up and die. Like I think I would be so terrified that I could not function, and I think I would just give up. As lame as that sounds, I would just, like, board in my house and hope for the best. I couldn't handle...
Actually, that's... it's funny you mentioned that, because that actually is the suggested thing to do.
Really?
Because, like, in the Zombie Survival Guide, it basically has the assumption that the zombies are eventually going to rot so much that they can't walk eventually. Like, zombies don't, like, not rot. So eventually they can't move.
Okay.
So all you have to do is have enough supplies to wait them out, and then they'll all be dead.
Okay.
Completely. Either you're dead or pretty much, like, not a problem anymore.
Yeah, just kind of, like, laying on the ground, not able to get anywhere. Huh.
So, yeah, okay. That's actually the best thing to do. Just, like, find a place to hold up as long as you've got enough provisions, and then just wait it out.
Well,
the problem is, and I mean, like, I don't really care for The Walking Dead very much, but it is a very good point. The zombies are one thing. Dealing with people, though, when things are done, is entirely different.
Yeah.
Those will probably be the bigger problem than the zombies.
Right. Yes, very
people true. Are unpredictable and evil. Zombies are very predictable. They just want to eat you.
Right.
That's kind of the unfortunate thing. You know what zombies want. You may not necessarily know what people want.
Right, yeah. Oh, I think that's definitely a valid point. Okay, let's just hope it never comes to that.
If it really came down to it, I'd probably just eat a bullet and not deal with it, because that's way too much to deal with. It's probably going to be, like, a slow, terrible death. I'd rather a quick one. It's a lot better.
Right.
So, moving on to less morbid things.
Yeah.
If you could have any pet, any at all, what would you choose to have magically attached to your non-dominant hand and one?
I love this question.
This is so fucking great.
It might be like my favorite one of the whole AMA. So I put some thought into it, and again, I have two possible choices. The first thing I thought of is a bunny. Just because, like, a little white furry bunny would be, like, freaking adorable, and I like my sense of touch, so if I was, like, having a bad day or upset or something, I would just, like, you know, pet the bunny and everything would be okay. They would always be there. Bunnies are cute. Alternatively, I would go for some sort of like miniature tiger. Because obviously you can't have a real size tiger attached to your hand. So this would be like something small enough to be on my hand, but still able to roar like a real tiger. And that would be a way for me to express like anger and displeasure. Because those are emotions that I have a hard time comfortably expressing. I usually just end up crying, which is not an effective way to communicate like that you're angry about something. So I would choose to have the tiger to do the roaring for me.
Answers. I'm gonna pick a bit of an out of the box one, and I would go with a tarantula. And I know people are gonna say nope, but like I'm personally rather like I wouldn't say obsessed. I used to be obsessed, but I am just fascinated by spiders.
Oh my
Like,
God.
and in the hands of a trained professional, like, it really takes away a lot of the fear. I actually once held an emperor scorpion. It was bigger than my fucking hand.
Ew.
That was really fucking cool. But I would just, it would be so furry and very pleasing to touch. And, like, if anybody fucked with me, I could be like, here's my spider, bro. Get
No.
out of my face.
Oh, God. That's like my worst nightmare. I mean, I
I think it
guess.
would suit me well.
Yeah. Well, I guess like if the spider, if the tarantula was attached to my hand, then by default I would know that it couldn't possibly crawl anywhere else, right? It couldn't start crawling up my arm or couldn't. So maybe I would get used to it, but I'd rather no, I'm gonna stick with my bunny.
Also a good answer. All right. What sort of foodstuff that's encased in some sort of bread sleeve or pocket is your favorite? My God, that is so specific.
So I hope this counts as a proper answer, but I would say like a gyro or a gyro, depending on where you're from. That's like a, it's not a fully enclosed pocket, but it is like a pocket that you put. I like chicken gyros. That is probably my favorite bread sleeve type product.
Do you have a favorite catchphrase or one-liner? Can you do a demo of it?
So, I don't know. Like, I definitely don't have a one-liner that I say all the time. But I think I mentioned earlier. Oh no, I didn't mention earlier. I'm trying to rewatch Lost right now. It's been many years since I watched that whole show, and I'm watching it with a friend, and we're getting to the part like one of my favorite one-liners from the show, so that's what comes to mind when I think about it. And I don't want to give away any spoilers for people who haven't seen the show and still want to watch it, but I can do a demo of it, and this is the worst, it's the most terrible impression ever. It's one of the male characters, and he has an Australian accent, and I absolutely cannot do a male Australian accent. But okay, my favorite one-liner from Lost is, "I loved you, Penny. I've always loved you." And that's it. I'm done now.
The next set, pulsating clouds. Number one, have you had an office Christmas party incident that you were embarrassed by? What happened?
So I don't have any good stories for you, clouds. I tend not to go to my office Christmas parties. And I have way too much, like, I care way too much about what my coworkers think of me that I've been to like one or two, and I've always been on my very best behavior. So no, I don't have any embarrassing office party stories.
Two, you feel like going shopping on a whim. What's the first shop you visit, and what could be the first thing you buy?
Yeah, so I like never get to go shopping by myself ever. I think so this is really lame, but there's like a grocery store by my house that is kind of like it's kind of like Walmart. So they sell food and stuff, but then they also have like a household section, where they sell like towels and automotive parts and things. It's basically like a Walmart, except that it's not Walmart. But I would probably go there just because, like, I don't know what I'm going to be in the mood to buy, but I can probably buy it there. And I also really like their women's clothing department. So it's like really cheap clothes, but they have amazingly cute stuff every time I walk by that section of the store. And so I'd probably go there just to see if they had anything cute to buy. If I'm going to the mall, I'm heading to Bath and Body Works. I love that store. I love the sense of smell, and so I would just go there and like smell every single product in the store and then end up buying way too much because they have all those deals where it's like buy three, get two free. So of course they have to get five things twice. So I would probably go there. I usually also always have coupons for there. So I tend to just keep those in my car. So I would probably head there first.
If I had to go somewhere, I'd probably go to a game, like a hobby shop, and I'd probably buy something like like Dungeons and Dragons related. Or I'd go to a guitar center and I would probably get like a guitar or like a bass or I don't know, something like that. Number three, what made you decide to record sexy audios? I think we may have answered this before, but
Yeah, we talked about why did I come to GWA, and I didn't lurk all a lot of very long after I got here. I think I lurked for maybe like a week, and I was just kind of watching everybody, and I posted a script of my own, and I thought that's all I wanted to do. Like, I just wanted to write. And then I was looking at other people's scripts because I wanted to see like, how they wrote and try to get like learn things. And I saw this script by Dread Space that I just like I had to read that out loud. Like it was like love at first sight. Like that ha I had to make that one. And
was that
so
one, You Want to Hear Me Beg?
no, it was I can't remember the title. What was the title?
Your Territory?
It was before that. It's a like a cock worshipping script. I can't remember the title, but it's the first audio I ever did for GWA, and it just like it called to me. And so I just had to do it. And then like just like the response that that audio got is what kept me recording after that, because I was expecting like nobody to like it and for me to feel stupid and never want to do it again. So it was like really surprising that people liked it, and now I am hooked.
I wanted to record because I wanted to be a part of the community because I noticed that they were really cool people, and I got a pretty good reception, and now I'm pretty much mostly in it for community. I actually, like, especially lately, have not actually been listening to audio as much, basically by choice. I've kind of actually been taking a bit of a break lately from listening because I was kind of getting burnt out, and it was kind of good for my creativity, and my creativity's coming back in floods, so it's worked.
Awesome.
So good stuff. Number four, who is your favorite Muppet?
Gonzo, hands down. He's just so weird. I always identified with him.
I didn't really watch Muppets much.
Oh.
I gotta go with Kermit though, because like because of the meme with him drinking tea, and it's like that's none of my business, and I drink tea, so I literally am like, that's none of my business, and then I drink my tea. So, like, I have to thank Kermit. I have to thank Kermit for having that meme be a thing and be, have it be applicable to my life.
Cool.
And finally, closing this one out, if you could have anyone read one or more of your scripts, who would it be? And I'm assuming this is not just GWA users. It could literally be anybody.
Yeah. So I thought a lot about this because I thought it was a really interesting question. And I was thinking about, like, famous people, right? Like, who would I want to read some of my scripts? So I write a lot of poetry, and I think those I really just like to hear from the GWA community. Like, there's no celebrity I really want to read any of my poems. They're very, like, personal, and I like hearing, like, amateur readings of those. But I have, like, two actual scripts, and one of them is, like, a gentle MDOM, caring, gentle script, and then the other one, I think you might have done that one for me. And then the other one... No, it was, someone filled it recently too. What did I call it? I don't remember what I called it, but it's like the, oh, you had a bad day. Like, I know what you need.
You mean like your two scripts, one's general. Yeah, I did that one.
Yeah.
You actually asked me personally to do that one.
I did. Yeah. I remember that. I have that one, and then I have a script that I co-wrote with No Audio Detected, and that one is like a creepy rapist impreg script that I'm quite fond of. Yeah.
I think it's, I want to have a family with you. I think we're perfect together.
We're perfect together. Yeah. That one was a tough one to title too. We're perfect for each other. I'll make you see, I think, or something like that. Anyway, that one is like a transcript of like one of my biggest fantasies. So, I definitely have thoughts about who I would like to hear read that. So this is really embarrassing. I would like Sir Anthony Hopkins to read that one. But not in like his regular, like, daily voice. Like, I want him to do Hannibal Lecter reading that one.
Oh.
yes, please, and thank you. And then the other, I think another voice that would be really fun to read, like, either of those two scripts would be Will Arnett. So he's the guy, he's been in a couple of things, but he's the voice of Batman in the Lego Batman movie. So if you're familiar with what he sounds like, he's got, like, that really low, raspy voice that he can do. And so I think that would be fun, too. So those are my picks.
Oh, man. That's such a hard one for me. The chick who played Galadriel in Lord of the Rings... She also played the evil queen in Narnia.
Yeah.
Having her do my druid script, like, it was an F for F, like, a young druid's initiation.
Okay.
That was by far one of my favorite scripts. And she has such a commanding fantasy voice. She's just perfect. Like, that would be that'd be Academy Award, like, winner, probably, with her behind that. Because she's so damn good at delivering that kind of tone.
Cool.
She wouldn't be evil, but she's got a good fantasy voice.
Okay.
So, that'd be my choice. I don't remember her name.
No, I know who you're talking about, though. I don't know her name either.
Yeah. Alright, so a nice easy one from Fairly Average Joe. Would you rather be an egg or some bacon?
Bacon is amazing.
I think I'd have to go with egg because, like, an egg can be so many ways. Like, versatility is just dope. Let's see. All right. moving on to a nice little chunk here. From Loves White Women, number one, do you think that the first person to drink milk was a naughty fucker? I mean, like, seriously?
So, I really like this question because I have actually contemplated this before. I really, really have. And so I can say with full confidence that I do think that that person must have been a naughty fucker. Like, how do you figure that out? You know? Like, how do you decide? I just, I can't imagine how that was discovered. You know?
That's a valid point. Number two, do you ever want to fight the urge to submit just to be difficult?
So no, I do not.
I guess this is like, is your kind of submission more of like a bratty thing?
Yeah.
Which for some people that's their thing, but
Right, yeah.
from my perspective of submissiveness, that's definitely not my thing. And I'm also more into nurturing submissiveness, so definitely not.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing too. I mean, like, I think sometimes I can be teasing, but it's not bratting. Like, and it's not fighting the
Yeah.
urge to submit. That never occurs to me to
It's
do.
inviting.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Yeah.
It's number three. The Winter Olympics are on every channel. Which sport do you watch?
This one is like the licorice question. Which one will you eat? Which one do you watch? I mean, the Winter Olympics aren't terrible. I like the summer ones better, but I think winter, I would probably either watch figure skating or some kind of downhill skiing event. So I don't know the difference
Yeah.
between all the different kinds, but I do like to watch skiing. So one of those two.
Never really watched any of those, but I was gonna say like snowboarding if that's a thing, and skiing would probably be like things for me.
Yeah.
Number four, does it bother you that Arizona doesn't observe daylight savings time?
Yes, it bothers me.
It's weird as fuck. Just Arizona?
Just
How is that a thing?
Arizona. What gives them the right? What makes them think they're special? I love these questions because they're very, I think that Loves White Women must think similarly to the way that I do, because these are like questions that I've thought about before. Like, fuck you, Arizona.
See, number five. If money were no object and nothing was of consequence, what is the first thing that pops into your mind when I ask, what adventure would you like to take?
So if nothing was of consequence, that's the thing about travel, like wild travel ideas for me. It's not so much the money thing, it's my personal safety, right? So I would love to visit, like, I don't even know like what specific countries, but just I would love to visit a lot of places in like Southeast Asia and see a lot of like the old just old historical places, and I think that'd be a really cool area of the world to visit, but I worry about like my safety and like my safety as a woman and things like that. Same goes for like Egypt. Like I would love to go and see like the pyramids and stuff, but I don't know, and maybe that's my own ignorance, and I don't mean to offend anybody that lives in those areas of the world, but I just like that's kind of what stops me from thinking about going anywhere in the world is just like my personal safety at the
No,
time.
you are completely valid in your assessment. It definitely is less safe for women in a lot of those areas. I wouldn't even want to really travel to any of those areas as a guy. I would probably put those kinds of areas in my list too. I would also maybe say Brazil or Africa so that I could like go into the rainforest and just see all the amazing life. Like, that would be fascinating. Like, and if nothing's of consequence, then I'm assuming I'm not going to get killed by a snake. So, yeah, I would just love to wander into a rainforest and just literally absorb everything. That would be amazing.
That would be really cool. I like what would stop me from going to the rainforest is that I hate when my hair gets all frizzy. Can't stand that physical
Oh,
sensation. But if that's included
yeah.
in the nothing of consequence thing, then I would add that to my list too.
It'd just be an opportunity to see, like, maybe even, like, undiscovered things.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah.
Like, I mean, how much of a fucking honor would it be to, like, have discovered some lost thing that everyone's been looking for forever, and you get to be the one that says, I found it, you know? Like,
Or you could discover your very own species of spider. That sounds like
that would be
something you would
fucking awesome,
enjoy.
which is entirely possible. There's a
Yeah.
lot of undiscovered species, and probably especially for spiders. That'd be dope as hell. I could die. I would have like made the kind of mark I could make.
Good question.
Right. That's a very good question. That's a nice take on the travel question. Number six. Do you think the love you get from fellow GWAers increases your darker urges to come to the surface? And has being a writer or performer here made you more daring in real life?
That's another good question. When I was answering the like what would the title of your book be and the current chapter in your life be, like I alluded to the fact that I'm like in this period of self-discovery, you know? And so I feel like I don't think GWA is responsible for my darker urges coming to the surface. I think they had already surfaced, and had been, you know, starting to be explored. So I think if anything, GWA is just like a way to express myself regarding those dark urges. So it's not, I mean, they're already there and they're already dark. I think recording audios for GWA has made me, I don't know if it's more daring, but just more like my dirty talk game is like way up now, you know? Like I don't get tongue tied, I don't run out of things to say, like I can just go. So I think that is like one major benefit that's come of participating in GWA, but I don't know if that means I'm more daring. I'm just louder.
Yeah, no, I'd say for sure that that's about the same for me. Like, it's made me like more forward. Like, the longer I'm on here, like, I can just be more forward. I unabashedly admit my kinks, like, to strangers on the internet, like in public posts, basically. So it's made me a lot bolder, like, in that sense. So I'd probably say it's the same.
Yeah.
Finally, to close it out, want me to stop asking questions?
I think I've enjoyed your question, so I say no. Although,
They were good.
yeah, those are good questions. Although I think we've been doing this for like 2 hours now, so maybe you should stop asking questions just temporarily.